Hello, welcome to this edition of the REIT Report, Nareit's weekly podcast. I'm your host, Alan Kenny, and we're recording this on May 25th, 2016. Our guest today is Kevin Tyler with Green Street Advisors. Kevin and I are going to discuss some of the latest developments in the healthcare REIT sector. Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Kevin, recently attention in the healthcare space has really been kind of focused on skilled nursing properties. We saw Ventas spin out its skilled nursing real estate earlier this year. HCP announced earlier this month that it intends to spin out its ManorCare skilled nursing portfolio. So I guess what I'm wondering is, can you provide some background on the healthcare REITs in terms of exposure to skilled nursing?
Yeah, sure, Alan. Thanks. You know, there are three and soon to be four pure play skilled nursing REITs, so folks that are focusing on skilled nursing exclusively. Omega is the largest of that group. They're about a $10 billion enterprise, and they're the longest standing pure play company. Omega's grown through the acquisition of Aviv, and its focus is largely on the regional skilled nursing facilities on a national basis. And then its business garners most of its revenue from post-acute and long-term care, so two different parts of the care continuum within the skilled nursing business. And the post-acute side is largely Medicare, and we'll touch on this, I think, throughout the conversation, so I'll make that distinction. The post-acute is largely Medicare. The long-term care side is largely Medicaid, so Medicare being federal, Medicaid being state. The other player, pure play, and that spun out of Ventas is Care Capital. They're about a $4 billion enterprise. They focus on regional skilled nursing players as well. Again, this mix of post-acute and long-term care. And then, as we know, HCP announced its intent to spin off ManorCare, which will be about $4 billion of real estate, give or take. And ManorCare has had its fair share of struggles lately, and the part of the reason for that might be explained around the enterprise's focus in post-acute, so Medicare-centric rather than Medicaid-centric on the long-term care side. Care Trust is another player, but it's a smaller one, $1 to $2 billion in the SNF space. And then there's a few diversified names that are worth mentioning as well. Welltower, being one of the largest diversified healthcare REITs, they have about $7 billion of skilled nursing assets, which amount to about 20% of the business. They have one large tenant that dominates the portfolio, and that's Genesis Healthcare. They're a publicly traded operator. HCP, as I mentioned, is exiting the business, but had a position in the space with ManorCare, and then Sabra is the last name that comes to mind on the diversified REIT side with SNF exposure. Also have exposure to Genesis, like Welltower.
So, with all this investor attention, I mean, are there changes going on in skilled nursing business-wise that you think are attracting that attention?
Yeah, certainly. You know, there's this term in the skilled nursing space, and it's a long-time risk in the space called stroke of the pen. Simply put, that what that means is in a business where all of the revenue is coming from government sources, Medicare and Medicaid, there's always this overarching policy risk to the business, and this is stroke of the pen risk. And so while the revenue growth at the top level has been pretty consistent, around 2% plus or minus from Medicare and Medicaid, and the risk to that revenue looking forward is more benign, we do have an evolving payment environment on the Medicare side. Medicare is moving to a model that will focus more on patient outcomes and incent the healthcare providers to be more coordinated throughout a whole episode of care for a patient. And so this has the potential to change the way in which the skilled nursing players get paid and the way in which they get their referrals. So coming out of the health systems, that will change over time. But we're definitely in the early innings of all these changes, and investors are trying to figure out exactly where they make their bets, who are the winners and losers, so to speak, as these changes play out. So we've also had another phenomenon going on behind the scenes that's taken effect over the last 10 years or so called Medicare Advantage. And simply, this is a player on the private side, so on the insurance side, Aetna or Humana, for example, becoming more involved in the Medicare business. The government's allocating those dollars to Humana or Aetna and having them manage a patient's Medicare program for them. And that ultimately changes the profitability profile for skilled nursing operators, and also the length of stay. So Medicare Advantage is pushing people out of the facility sooner. So investors are trying to understand all these things and figure out what the business looks like under this changing Medicare payment regime.
Kevin, HCP's decision to spin off its ManorCare business, Tell us a little bit about how you view the motivation behind that decision.
Yeah, sure. In terms of ManorCare, if we step back and think about the concentration that HCP had, it was a large portion of their overall business. So about 25% of their assets were tied to this large player in ManorCare. ManorCare was once the preeminent name. It dates back to a 2011 deal that HCP had made. And because they were the preeminent name, at the time it looked like a great deal. But since then, the operator has struggled to maintain its profitability. We had a Medicare rate cut at the time that wasn't foreseen. And then there's been impacts from a from a Medicare standpoint, but also from a management standpoint, I'd say. So new ownership has come in through the Carlyle Group, and management at the existing enterprise is turned over. And on top of all that, you have a rental stream and that's growing faster than a revenue stream, which doesn't bode well for the underlying business. So HCP, if we look back last year, extended ManorCare rent cut and continued to see, even with that rent cut, ManorCare has continued to see the business deteriorate. And so what I'd say is this has created a sizable overhang in the stock for investors that are either thinking about investing or that are potentially already involved, and they're trying to figure out how they underwrite that business going forward, they being HCP. And so they hired a strategic advisor to figure out how best to manage the ManorCare investment. And after running a process and figuring out exactly what the best alternatives might be, they decided to reduce concentration via spin of ManorCare into a standalone REIT. And so the deal isn't without complexity. And at this point, the details are pretty skinny in terms of exactly the structure of the new entity, but certainly can speak to some of those things.
And so how does ManorCare differ from some of the other companies that you mentioned earlier, you know, Care Capital, for example, or Omega?
Yeah, I think, you know, the number one difference is that ManorCare is a single tenant in the new REIT, whereas Care Capital and Omega, for example, have many operators in many states and less exposure to Medicare. ManorCare is heavy in the Medicare business, and so investors will have to get comfortable with a tenant that's seen their operations deteriorate over a number of years, where CCP and Omega might have had one or two operators within their portfolio or a dozen, let's say, that have seen operations deteriorate. But because of the diversification benefit of having many states and many operators, they've been in a position to weather this any one specific storm, let's say. And so, and on top of all that, you have a regional focus, operator regional focus for Omega and CCP versus ManorCare at the large national level. And so all those things combined make Omega and CCP quite a bit different from the new ManorCare. And another thing that's going to apply to the new ManorCare on a standalone basis will be how it is ultimately capitalized. The rent that's currently in place at HCP will likely have to be cut, and you'll have to have a lender base that gets comfortable underwriting debt to a company that's seen their operations steadily decline. So it is a little bit of a complex puzzle to be solved on a standalone basis. But if you look past ManorCare and you say now that HCP is out of the woods, so to speak, on the skilled nursing side, how does the rest of the company look? And I think what we find is that HCP's assets are of good to high quality. Notably, they have some high-quality lab space in the South San Francisco market. They've got a top-tier acute care hospitals both in Orange County and Texas, and then they have decent senior housing, which is their largest concentration post the spin. And so senior housing will be largely private pay, and I think it speaks to what we've heard from other REITs like Welltower and Ventas. There's been this shift towards private pay and away from government pay where you might have ultimately less control. So HCP is trying to make this shift in making the spin. But they will have to deal with a large tenant again, and that would be Brookdale. And Brookdale's a business on the senior housing side, a national platform, the largest senior housing operator that's in many markets, some high barrier but also some low barrier, and they are front and center for any new supply that's potentially emerging in the industry. And I think that over the back half of this year, we'll see their portfolio be put to the test. And so HCP will be certainly keeping an eye on this tenant and some of the new hires that they've made, like Justin Hutchins, is well equipped potentially to work through this and eventually turn around the business. So in addition to Justin, HCP's management has turned over. They have a new CFO in Tom Herzog, and Tom is known for doing a good job keeping the balance sheet in check at UDR and past roles before that. But it will be one thing that will be in focus for investors is the balance sheet at the remaining HCP won't look quite as good as it did before the spin. And so we'll have to, over time, I'm assuming Tom will work to get leverage down, and he's also well qualified for that. So I think it gives you a sense of some of the things that we've seen in the space, and also just from a REIT specific standpoint as it relates to Medicare, but just on a high level policy standpoint as well. So hopefully that gives you some, or investors, some conclusions to potentially draw, or at least to think about as they're underwriting their investments.
Well, Kevin, I really appreciate your time, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Alan. Take care.
Many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us as well. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and remember that you can always visit REIT.com for more on this and other real estate news and analysis. For the REIT Report, I'm Alan Kenny.